Join Adel Kazilski and Feige Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
A wonderful, beautiful winter. Good morning to all our listeners. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. I'm Adel Kazilski.
And I'm Feige Stern.
And we should actually say hello to each other because we've been kind of like digital nomads. We've been keeping the show running, but we're having
We keep missing each other. It's crazy. We haven't been together for a long time.
Yes, it hasn't. Since before Pesach, you must know that we haven't sat in the studio together. But thank God there's modern technology. And you can do most things wherever you are, even on the top of Kilimanjaro.
Well, maybe we need to start looking into AI. Figuring that out.
They could train our voices to pretend who we are. Okay, we're not going to be like that. And in fact, we were talking about AI just before the show with our guest, and he said he's II, which we're going to actually ask him what it means. I think it's actually a very, very good idea to discuss it. And we are going to be talking to none other than Travis Mitchell. He has been on our show many, many times before. He found his passion at the age of 16, and that was in the field of chiropractics. And he has set up a flourishing chiropractic department. He's worked in Dubai, and now he's come back to South Africa. He loves South Africa, I believe, and loves giving to people, and is a man who's got so many insights into how we can maintain our health or how we can reverse those things that aren't working so well in our lives. Today, we are going to be talking about chiropractics, but in particular, when it comes to little kids. I'm going to tell you just before we start, I was afraid of chiropractic guys. Like, I just thought, I don't know what, you kind of like were ninjas that used to crack people's things and maybe break bodies. I was really nervous. And there was a time maybe 30 years ago, I developed a pain in the back by my kidney. And every time I sat, I had the most excruciating pain. And talking about traveling, I was traveling to New York. I lived on Voltaren. Like, I couldn't even sit on the plane for the 16 hours to get there. When I walked, I had the pain. Eventually, I came back. I said to my doctor, there's something really, really wrong. So he said, no, it's muscular. Take some more anti-inflammatories. It would come and go. It didn't go. I drove my doctor mad. Eventually, he said, you know what? There's only organs there, then you just have to go for all the gastroscopies and the scans and whatever have you. Go and check out what's going on, because the pain was enormous. That morning, I went to my homeopath and I said to him, I'm fasting. He said, why? I said, because I'm going for a gastroscopy at 2 o'clock. Checks my feet on reflexology. He says, you don't need a gastroscopy. You need a chiropractor. He says, you've just shifted yourself, you know, your one rib, your bottom rib is not sitting where it's supposed to. So that's when you sit and certain walking. I said, I don't trust these guys. He said, you're going now. I picked up the phone. He sent me to a guy I left him, went to the guy. I was so scared. I heard crackle, crackle, pop, walked out, called the Link Silver, said, I'm canceling the gastroscopy. And I then became a faithful user of chiropractic. So I've joined the ranks. But I never understood or appreciated that, in fact, you can do chiropractics on little kids. So that's what we're going to discuss this morning. Warm welcome, Travis, back to our show.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. It's always a pleasure to be back on the show with you. And just to answer your question about II. So the first
chiropractor... Let's talk about II. I said, I'm using a lot of AI. You said, I'm II. Go.
First chiropractor, his name was Didi Palmer, and he believed there was an innate intelligence with inside the body. That's that intelligence that knows how to heal and function the body perfectly by God's design. So as much as AI might take over the world, it's certainly not going to take over the healing of the body. So we practice II.
The II is the natural intelligence, not artificial.
Yeah, the innate intelligence. Yes, absolutely love that. Love that, love that. I'm going to use that with your permission moving forward.
With pleasure, with pleasure.
I hope you show.
II,
not AI. Okay, right. We're going to discuss pediatric chiropractics. Did you have to specialize in that field, or are you using the same methods that you do with adults, with little kids? And when you're talking pediatrics, what age range are you looking at?
So I think that's such a great start out question, Adil, and I appreciate your guys' intelligence in the question. So well done. So, you know, in terms of my education at university, you know, we graduated as, you know, what would be called the generalized chiropractor, you know, able to work across many different issues, but certainly not pediatric specialized. So within South Africa, there is no, you know, advanced education in pediatrics for chiropractic. You have to study that overseas. But there's a lot of chiropractors that have, let's call it a special interest in chiropractic for pediatrics. And certainly that's something from the first moment that I graduated, you know, I really enjoyed seeing kids. I really enjoyed the benefit that chiropractic offered kids. And you'll see that there are some chiropractors such as myself that I see a full range of patients. From my youngest patient has been 98 years old, so that's my spectrum. You have some chiropractors that I don't see pediatrics at all, and you have other chiropractors that only see pediatrics. You can't say that a baby is just a smaller human. There's a lot more intricate neurological functions that one has to understand. So when you're working with pediatrics, you have to understand how that nervous system is forming, how it's developing, where potential problems can come from, and how to address them smartly.
I mean, I've used a chiropractor for a bunch of my children, and it's actually fascinating what comes out of it. Like my daughter was a bum shuffler. She wouldn't crawl at all. I literally went from physio to physio to physio, which thank God also helped. Eventually the one physio said to me, I just need to take her to a chiropractor. And just seeing the way that they, you know, work with babies is fascinating, and how much it benefits even their core and their crawling and their walking. And then my son as well, I took him the one time, he and the way he understood his brain just from assessing him, you know, he made him stand in one direction, he made him throw something in another direction, he made him catch. It was like his assessment just explained so much of how his brain's working. So I guess like there's so many reasons why someone would take a child to a chiropractor. I know there's like ADD concerns or sinus concerns. When exactly would someone take their child to a chiropractor?
Well, let's come back to I again. So, you know, if we understand that there is an intelligence that runs the body from the baby, from the time the baby is conceived, yeah, so from egg and sperm meeting, this goes through very specific neurological steps to get you to hopefully 24 years of age. You're no longer on breastfeeding. You know, you can wipe your own backside. You can think for yourself. So we call that development, yes? So there are very specific steps in development. And what we want to see is those steps follow A to B, B to C. It's a little bit more complex than that because it's not just one step to the next. It's one step that makes five steps, and then five steps makes 30 steps. And it's an exponential change. And that's why as humans, as adults, we are able to use this body, mind, and soul for so many different things. So if there is an interference along that path of development neurologically, then what will happen is you'll still develop, but you'll start missing parts of that development, and you will see problems downstream from that occurs because of the missing in development. And the chiropractor is supposed to find that missing in development.
Okay, and so this is your chance to ask your chiropractor on the radio right now any questions that you have. You can SMS us on 34519, or you can send a WhatsApp at 061-895-1019.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adil Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
We're speaking to Travis Mitchell, a chiropractor. We are talking pediatric chiropractics, and this is your opportunity to listen up. If you are a mother of young kids, or you're a grandmother who wants to tell your daughter or daughter-in-law to go send your kids to the chiropractor, because there is so much benefit that can be derived. As I said, when I started using a chiropractor, I was an adult. I thought, okay, it's only for adults. Until actually I became a grandmother, and we had one of my daughters had a child that didn't want to latch and kept on throwing his head backwards, okay, and arching. And I think it was the breastfeeding consultant said, just, we're fighting a losing battle here. the child was born through cesarean section, didn't go through the natural birth process, which I believe, if I'm saying this wrong, like aligns the skeletal system and the nervous system and whatever have you, and you've got to go to a chiropractor. And that's what we did. And literally within like one or two sessions, the baby was more comfortable, wasn't throwing itself back, was able to latch. We thought like, why can't we get this right? You know, it's like not like rocket science to you know, get a baby to breastfeed. But nobody could work it out except this eventually when, you know, we were told, go to a chiropractor. So let's talk about the really, really, you said you've done a baby of three hours. Maybe let's discuss why you did that. And then just roundabout, like the first year of development, what type of symptoms a person should look, you know, that should notice and think that maybe chiropractics will help them.
So let's start off with delivery. South Africa is one of the largest countries in the world for C-section birth. And so I do think that that creates a lot of problems that chiropractors need to be addressing. But when the baby comes through the birthing canal, the cervix will squeeze the head, the neck, the shoulders, the chest, the pelvis, and that sets neurological processes in place. So for example, if we're talking about, you know, feeding, there is a sucking and rooting reflex that occurs. The sucking reflex means the baby knows how to take the nipple into the back of the mouth to be able to use the tongue to express milk into the baby's throat. And the rooting reflex makes the baby know where to find the boob, yeah? Because there's a big difference between nipple and nose, yeah? So if the baby's trying to suck on the mom's nose, nothing's going to happen. So those are neurological mechanisms that have to start in action. And if they don't, you'll start to see that the baby struggles to feed. A breast is supply and demand. So if it's not getting the right stimulus, the breast is not going to necessarily produce the right amount of milk. So you start to have these knock-on effects. The baby is then taking air in if they are breastfeeding, or if they're bottle feeding and then a formula, they might not necessarily be having the right formula, which doesn't necessarily allow the digestive system to mature. Unfortunately, the digestive system doesn't mature, your normal immune system doesn't mature. And if the immune system doesn't mature, you get a kid that's constantly getting overexposed to various bugs, hojos, viruses, bacteria, and doesn't necessarily get to thrive. If they're not thriving, the brain is going to say, why do I need to get to cognitive learning? Let's just say in survival. And then you get to a kid who's got ADD, ADHD, and you're like, where did this all go wrong?
You know, we've got one saying for this. Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Okay.
So if you bring the baby to the chiropractor can then assess where is that neurological interference, yeah? And it can be within the cranial system. So a lot of pediatric chiropractors have trained within the skull and the mouth, and that makes a massive difference. So we had one lady, her nipples were about four sizes longer than before, black, blue, chipped, cracked, blood everywhere, and she was trying to breastfeed, hating her life. And all we did was release the jaw, the cranials, and the base of the neck, got the neurological system to start connecting, and the baby latched straight away. The mom went, oh, is that what breastfeeding is supposed to feel like?
No, you actually do. I mean, I've heard so many people just say, oh, I can't breastfeed, or my child doesn't like to breastfeed. So
they're like latching.
You know, like, oh, it's just my child, or I don't know how to, or just like my body can't. It's just fascinating to see that there's so much that you could do.
Well, that's why we come back to I, you know, God designed the body a certain way on purpose. And so new age, you know, AI, we look at things that the body can't do, and rather than looking at what the body can do, and everything was designed for a purpose, but there are steps that one has to go through. And so chiropractic philosophy says we have to find primary. What is the primary interference? Not just the symptom. So if we come back to primary and we can find where that is and we correct that, we might need to follow that through, or we just simply correct that interference. We call it a subluxation in chiropractic. We correct that interference and the body is then able to develop smoothly from there. Give it enough time, it will resolve what it was struggling with.
Is it almost like the body is then able to send the right messages to the brain after you've like released a certain issue?
Well, that's such a cool statement. So, you know, on a constant basis, our brain and our body are circling in information. The brain sending information to the body sending information to the brain. And at some point, response has to occur. So blinking, breathing, swallowing, digesting, all of those are responses. So if that communication channel is not occurring correctly, you're going to get a message, a missing in the message. So for example, I send you a message, you know, hey, I'm going to be there at 9, and it changes to say, I'm not going to be there at 9, you're going to get the wrong response. And so this is where issues occurred down the road. And if we can just get that cycle of communication occurring, hey, the body knows how to function.
Let's just talk. Let's go back to the 3 day old. I mean, I've seen chiropractics now on a 1 week old, 3 day, 3 hour old. Why 3 hour old?
So certainly within my practice, and I'd say a lot of chiropractors practices, is we have way more of a wellness approach. Yeah. So, you know, do you want to wait for problems to occur before you start correcting? Or do you want to stimulate effectively from the beginning so that the baby can develop correctly from the start? Yeah. So, for example, do you take your kid to tutors only once they've got maths issues, or do you take them to tutors at the beginning so they get those foundations? So chiropractic is a stimulation to the nervous system, and you can stimulate whenever. You can stimulate when there's problems, or you can stimulate right from the beginning to really maximize neurological development, or what we call adaptation. So the parents, they loved chiropractors. They'd been to chiropractors all the way through pregnancy. So they said, can we check? We checked the baby. It was very small work that we needed to do, but that maximized the development. My son was 3 days old when I first adjusted him. You're going to say, why did I adjust a 3 hour and only a 3 day? Because I was a new parent and I was freaked out. Okay. My son was sleeping through the night by 7 weeks of age.
I've seen, and I've got to corroborate that, like all my grandchildren, you know, they sleep through the night very, very early, between 7 and 12 weeks, they are sleeping through the night. But I did see that the struggle was either that, and they were all Caesar babies, throwing their head back because they needed adjustment there. Also with tongue ties, let's talk about tongue ties, because, you know, we've had that also.
Yeah, so this might be a little bit controversial in terms of tongue ties, but, you know, my statement, and again, this I'm not speaking for all chiropractors, but my statement is I don't think God makes mistakes, yeah? But I do see a lot when it comes to tongue ties, there's a lot of additional traction and torsion within the head and neck region, yeah? So if there is a definitive tongue tie, that may need to be addressed. I do think tongue ties are addressed more often than what they should be. But if you can release a lot of that traction and distortion and tension within the head and neck region through chiropractic, through meningeal work, through cranial work, a lot of babies don't need to have that tongue tie snip. Yeah. In terms of throwing,
carry on.
In terms of throwing the head backwards, that is a protective mechanism the baby is doing to try and stimulate its own spine. And the way that I explain that to parents is, can you imagine you've got an itch in the middle of your back and you can't get to it? Yes. And you don't have Faggy next to you that you can say, Faggy, just give that a little scratch for me. Yeah. So you're kind of moving in awkward positions, trying to get to scratch that itch. Yeah. And so within the spine, when there is that subluxation or that contraction, it's often painful. There's often inflammation or muscular tension around it. So the baby is moving to try and say, there's something happening there, but it can't scratch it.
Right. And then also colic, right? You have these chronic babies that feed and cry and drive you insane for like 2-3 months, you know. Can chiropractics help you there?
So colic by definition is actually a lot later than when most people will say that their kids have colic. Colic is generally 3 to 6 months of age, not in the first 3 months. So in the first 3 months, the digestive system is immature. The respiratory system and the digestive system is often very immature in that first 3 months. And so what we want to do is we want to help facilitate the maturing of the digestive system. So, you know, learning how to burp correctly, learning how to fart correctly, you know, for a baby, that's very important to help the digestive system know how to do its work. You know, to eat food from the breast, hopefully, and then to be able to pass bowel motion. Those are very specific things neurologically the body's got to learn how to do. And you would like to say that as soon as the baby comes out, it knows how to do it. But it is a skill. Breastfeeding is a skill. Burping is a skill. Farting is a skill. You know, digestion is a skill. So we want to be able to facilitate that. There's a lot of simple movements that we can teach parents to facilitate that. But if there is an interference, so a lot of times the mid-thoracic spine is subluxated, and that impacts the diaphragm. So the diaphragm is actually not facilitating the stomach. And so that's where you'll have a lot of issues. And if you can adjust that part of the spine, massive difference to the babies.
But I think it's also, I think what needs to be mentioned is also if a person has a baby that's preterm, that's born before its time, that maybe spends like a week or two or three or 10 in NICU and all of those things, then the baby is at a disadvantage that A, it didn't manage to finish its growth and all its development in utero, you know, and then also being like thrust into however much we go, you know, and say like today in NICU, they've tried to mimic the uterus. It's not, right? And that also can have an effect on a baby. And am I right in saying that chiropractic can happen there, can help there as well?
So one of the first times that I chatted with you guys, we spoke about stress in the system. And so, you know, from a baby that's born premature, in many instances, there's a lot of in utero stresses that makes the uterus not viable anything further for that growing baby. So it's much better in theory for the baby to be born premature. But you can understand that there's a massive amount of stress either in utero or in NICU or whatever that occurs. And certainly I think chiropractic has a good place in assisting and facilitating those babies settling down into normal life. But at also the same time, as you're saying, is that they're born premature, they don't necessarily have those neurological mechanisms. So rooting and sucking generally doesn't start in utero. It only starts when the baby comes out, and that's for breastfeeding. So in a lot of instances, those neurological mechanisms that are there for important things when they have been born aren't there when they're premature. So I do think chiropractic can facilitate the nervous system to develop into those neurological processes. So I'd say, Adil, yes, as part of the treatment or the care team, yeah? One thing that you'll see is we speak a lot about being part of a team. So this is not a statement to say, only go to chiropractors, never go to any other doctors. You don't need them, you only need a chiropractor. That's not the truth. We need a team of practitioners. And good pediatric chiropractors work with pediatric physios and OTs and speech and all of those things to facilitate that neurological development.
I think that can be the trick. Like that's really the issue when people have a concern is where do you go first? You know, before the radio show, I was discussing about sinuses with babies or with children. And, you know, a child is snotty and, you know, chesty, and the first thing you do is take them either to a pedo or a GP. But if it becomes like a chronic issue and it's something that is constantly happening and the child is constantly going on a medication or antibiotics for it, really there has to be it has to be questioned. Like you say, there should be a team with these types of situations, or obviously millions of different situations. But can someone like that then come to a chiropractor?
So, Fagi, I'm going to start off the answer with saying that the primary system in the body is the nervous system. So, you know, for me, is if we're going to look at building a house, we need to make sure the foundation is in place correctly. So I do think as part of a first assessment is we should be looking at the nervous system. And I definitely think chiropractors are strategically placed to be assessing the nervous system. If there is no neurological interference or issue, then the chiropractor should be able to say, you know, go and see this practitioner, go and see that practitioner. If there is a neurological issue, but there's also other issues, the chiropractor should be able to, you know, direct accordingly. I am a firm believer that chiropractors should be primary healthcare practitioners. So, you know, certainly there are a lot of patients in the world that don't go see a GP first. They'll go and see their chiropractor or their homeopath first. I think that comes down to a philosophical construct, which says, what it is that you believe about how the body is designed. And if the body is intelligent, we want to try and understand that intelligence. And a lot of parents want to look at things from a natural point, hence why you guys have a show. Let's look at things from a natural point of view before we dive to medication or intervention. I do think a lot of GPs are now starting to move in that direction, say, hey, why are we jumping to intervention on a medication point of view? Why don't we look at the more subtle sides of things? And I think that's where chiropractors and GPs are starting to dance together rather than dancing against each other.
What about the comment that your corrections that you do, right, are too violent on the body, that it will hurt the cartilage? I'm sure you've heard that 50 billion times.
Yeah. So you have this imagination of a TikTok video and the chiropractor's wrapping a towel around your patient's neck and this massive sound happens. If you go to a chiropractor who works with babies and is adjusting in that way, I personally am going to question that. You know, the way that I was taught to work with babies is about as much pressure as you can tolerate on your eye. And it's more about a impulse, a speed and a direction of the impulse that stimulates the nervous system, not the crunching or the clicking of bones. So chiropractic is, in my opinion, a neurological-based approach, even in adults, but definitely with babies, there should be, if ever, very few clicking and crunching. I did have one pediatrician tell me that, you know, I'm the reason why when you do a suction delivery or you do a C-section delivery, there's a lot of pressure, and this has been documented in research, there's a lot of pressure that goes on the neck, where the pressure that a chiropractor places on the neck is significantly less. So yeah, that's no concern that a parent should have.
Right. We're speaking to Travis Mitchell. We're talking about chiropractic, the practice of chiropractic.
Chiropractic.
Yeah, we don't say chiropractic key, something like that. No, okay. Of chiropractic, but we're talking in the realm of the pediatric range. If you have a question or you've had an experience, you'd like to ask a question, you'd like to pass a comment, 34519 is our SMS line, 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
Now, Travis, let's move a little bit up the continuum. We've talked about little kids with colic, with sucking problems, etc. Let's like look at the younger group where, you know, we spoke earlier that there's ADD, there's autism. Talk around that area, like where can chiropractic help there?
So, developmentally, we're designed to be upright so that our spinal cord and our brain has a certain orientation in order for prefrontal cortex to develop. And the prefrontal cortex is that part of your brain that is allowing you to think and reason and learn and all of those things. So if you haven't developed to that point, you generally get to see a lot of behavioral type issues. Now, in terms of behavioral type issues, I will always start in my office by looking at two important things, the lifestyle mechanisms. So there's a lot of sugar that kids are on and discipline type structures. There's a lot of parenting that is, in my opinion, too soft. But let's take those issues away. Let's look purely as a neurological point is if we're not developed correctly and we put this developing nervous system into a stressful situation like school, you're going to see behavioral type responses that are sort of anxiety-based, fear-based. The kid is wanting to run away. The kid is not wanting to concentrate. And a lot of the times it's just because they have not neurologically matured where their brain can actually sit down and focus within the school structure. And then you have a teacher that raises their voice slightly to in enhance a point, and the kid thinks that the teacher's shouting at them, and their brain then shuts down completely. And so I do think that the neurological development leads to a lot of these issues. I'm not saying that that's entirely, but I do think it leads to a lot of these issues.
Would you then say a chiropractic concern? So if someone, like you say, if someone can't handle the sounds, the smells, the light, the noises, would that then in a chiropractic situation, how do you help that?
So within a lot of those kids, because their nervous system is on red alert, yeah, it's now I'm trying to survive, the sensory system is going to be determining things that are potential threats. Now, when we look at a potential threat, it's not necessarily an actual threat, it's a potential threat. So the sensory system is in overworking, trying to determine if there's a potential threat that it needs to survive more from. So in many instances, yeah, you'll get the sensory system that is either heightened or it's over aroused, and then it will then shut down. So then you have an under active sensory system. So in conjunction with your sensory integration OTs, I do think chiropractic works nicely. Anecdotally, in my practice, I've had a lot of patients that have gone to OTs and physios, are getting good results, but just haven't quite kicked over. They come and see the chiropractor, I start adjusting them, the OT says, I don't know what you've done different, but the kid is responding so much better to the work that I'm doing. And I've definitely seen that.
Not sense, I think the question is like, would it be a once-off thing, or is it something that would be a chronic? Like OT is something that you can go to for a couple of years until you get the correct results. But in this situation, then would a child come to you for a once-off, or would it be that they have to come to you every 4 to 6 weeks?
I'm going to say that in conjunction with an OT or a physiotherapy protocol, it'll generally run concurrently with that. What we then look at is if the physio, for example, is seeing the patient, or the OT is seeing the patient once a week and they start chiropractic, they might not necessarily have to see the patient, once a week, or vice versa. You might not necessarily need to see the chiropractor once a week. You can see the chiropractor once a month, but that then maximizes the physio work. And instead of the physio protocol lasting like 5 years, the physio protocol can last maybe a year and a half, because we've got a different neurological system that is responding.
Now, we've just got a question from a listener that says, do you work together with a massage therapist? I would assume it's the same as a physio. Like from my experience, I know like it kind of goes hand in hand. If I've got a really sore neck and I go to the physio and they relax my muscles, but I'm out of sync, like my head's in a different place, like my muscles are just going to contract again. And then vice versa. Like if I go to the chiropractor and you straighten me, but then my muscles are tense, I still need somebody to go and relax that. Is that a true statement?
So if there is a definitive soft tissue work that needs to be done, and that is not something that the chiropractor does. Now, there are certain chiropractors that have studied further within the soft tissue realm. Then, yeah, I think a referral to somebody that does the soft tissue work, without stepping on toes or wanting to step on toes. We have massage therapy, and within South Africa, there's a massage therapy association, and I think that they do fantastic work. That we also have the physiotherapist. So, certainly within that teamwork that we spoke about before, I do think somebody needs to be doing soft tissue work. I don't think that soft tissue work is specific to chiropractic. If the chiropractor is needing to have someone who's specific with the soft tissue work, I think the chiropractor should be handing that over to someone.
Okay, that's really, really interesting. Sometimes I see it go hand in hand, and sometimes I know which, do I put the horse first or the cart first? Like, it just depends,
if you do need an adjustment, then you will be tense.
Sometimes I just have an adjustment.
Your body will become more tense, and the soft tissue does have a problem because of the alignment.
And sometimes you just need an adjustment. One time I bent over to load the dishwasher. I don't know what I did. I went the wrong way. Like stood up, I couldn't breathe. I called my chiropractor. I was there 20 minutes later. Crack, crack. Adjust, and I was fine. I didn't need any soft tissue.
Well, that's why I started with saying that the nervous system is primary. So, from my perspective, and I think from a lot of chiropractors' perspective, focusing on the nervous system primary and then seeing what's layered on top. So to answer your question, in many instances, a good adjustment will then allow the soft tissue system to take care of itself. And in other instances, it's chronically contracted, and so it needs that attention. But I do think that we have to be addressing the nervous system first.
I want to talk about something interesting again that I've seen primarily, I guess, in my grandchildren, because I'm more aware now. I'm using I instead of no I. Perhaps when I was a mother. But things like the trampoline and the kids playing certain sports and hurting themselves and then cranking themselves, and the parents not noticing that they then, you know, are changing, like that they've changed or whatever like that, that sometimes you have to go and say, we've got to take you to the chiropractor because, you know, you're doing, lots of people have got trampolines at home. And like,
yeah, but trampolines can be beneficial as well. There are times
that a kid will do something, pick themselves up, you know, kind of like half dust them off and half walk off the trampoline.
Adel, you're making me want to send all of my children once a week to the chiropractor.
Just go for an assessment, baby, an assessment.
So okay. let me answer that for you. The nervous system is designed to take challenges, right? That's what the nervous system is about. There's never, ever going to be a perfect environment to raise kids or to live in. So when the nervous system is taking a challenge, what we want to see is we want to see the nervous system can adapt to the challenge. So is jumping on a trampoline good for spines? My opinion, it's not. Is it a challenge to the system? The answer is it is. Is it possible for the nervous system to adapt, strengthen muscles, ligaments, tendons, those kind of things, to adapt to the challenge? The answer is yes. If the nervous system is not adapting at that point, for whatever reason, then it will have to compensate. The problem with compensation is it has its knock-on effect. So I do agree with Adel that, Faggy, you should be taking your kids to chiropractors on a regular basis for a check. You know, for my opinion, is if somebody comes for a check...
Tavis is going to be knocking on your door.
If somebody comes for the check and there's nothing wrong with the baby or nothing wrong with the kid or nothing wrong with the adult, I'm going to send the person packing and say, hey, take care of A, B, and C. But if there is something happening, then we want to address it.
Okay, we're having such fun here asking all these questions. We've got a couple of minutes, but we're going for a short break. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
Travis, we've been discussing the nervous system a lot in the show. Are there some people that naturally have a higher
threshold, like
sensitivity, a more sensitive nervous system? Like one of my children, for instance, is like he lashes out quickly and he does have a heightened nervous system. So he does, you know, like there would be concerns, let's say in the school environment, sitting, concentrating, because every single thing that goes on around him affects him.
It's such a beautiful question, Adel, and I want to answer it in two ways. So the answer, number one, is yes. Are there different sensitivities of the nervous system? And that comes down to individualization of the nervous system. So the way that I categorize it, I wouldn't say that this is necessarily a chiropractic category. This is the way that I categorize it, is we either have a balanced nervous system, which is fully functional or fully developing. We have an unbalanced nervous system. If we have an unbalanced nervous system, we will have either an over-aroused, an under-aroused, or an unstable nervous system, which flicks between the two. And then eventually we get an exhausted nervous system where the nervous system is actually basically wanting to shut down. My understanding of this from a clinical point of view is a lot of this comes during our neurological priming, which happens from conception. If you understand anything about epigenetics, it actually happens from the mom and the dad pre-conception and then occurs through uterine and then obviously the beginning stages of life. So, you know, one of the first questions I'd ask you, Faggy, is, you know, what was your pregnancy like, you know, during each one of the kids? Where were you? Where were your husbands at? You know, those kind of questions. So that gives us some understanding of that priming of the nervous system so that we can understand their individual nature. And ultimately, from a chiropractic point of view, we want to keep trying to counterbalance those different nervous systems. So a very slow nervous system, you might want to, you know, jazz them up, but a very heightened nervous system, you want to spend time calming them down.
And then the immune system has an effect on that as well, which then has an effect on the neurological aspect.
I'm going to say that I think the immune system is as an effect of the nervous system in more instances than not. So a heightened nervous system, you're going to get a heightened immune system. So those are often the kids that are, you know, the first ones to react. And then they don't react a little bit, they react massively, you know, snot everywhere, congestion, high fever, all of those things. Or you have a very sluggish nervous system. And so they're sick, they've been exposed to something, their immune system is reacting, but you don't really see that response until it's really late. And so if you ask a lot of parents, you'll have the one kid, you know, they're literally freaking out from the first exposure. And then you have the other kid that the parent only knows that the kid is sick when they're in ICU.
Yeah. Well, this has been a stupendous conversation. Love having you on. Very informative and engaging. And we really thank you for your time. If anybody wants to engage with a pediatric chiropractor or anybody that is looking for one, there is a website, which I'm going to share with you now. It's www.chiropeds, C-H-I-R-O, and then the first four letters of pediatric, P-A-E-D-S, .co.za, and you can find a practitioner that specializes in it. Thank you again for your time. Travis, it's really, really nice always to have you on our show.
Thank you so much, Travis.
Oh, man, I absolutely love you, ladies, and you're doing a fantastic job. God bless you. Be brilliant. Spread the word. Have a great day. Keep the faith. Awesome.
And BII. This is the Healthy You Wealthy Show 101.9 High FM.